You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here again with Todd Zalecki, our MLB.com Phillies reporter. As we make our way around the roster, we continue along with the infield this week, Todd. It's an exciting spot for this Phillies team, and it's bound to get more exciting as maybe this season goes on, if not certainly in the near future, as more prospects make their way up to the major leagues. But let's get right into it. Let's start at the hot corner, because Michael Franco is obviously a key guy on this roster, because the Phillies need to know what he is. He's certainly shown the flashes of being an all-star caliber player, but not all the time. When you look at the Phillies' big picture, how important is Michael Franco to this entire rebuild?
He's huge. I'm not going to say, like, you know, it's make or break for the Phillies if Michael Franco pans out or not, but you look at the rest of the organization and what's kind of coming up through the system. They don't really have a superstar, I guess, third base prospect, like, knocking on the door, whereas they have those guys at shortstop, second base, first base, outfield, rotation, bullpen, catcher. Third base is kind of one spot where, you know, they don't have a guy AAA, you know, like I said, knocking on the door. So they really need Michael Franco to put together a better season. And it's funny because, you know, he had 25 home runs last season. He had 88 RBIs, I believe, but his OPS was around like 740, 750 or something. Not very impressive, you know, when you think about a guy that played every single day, and you think about a guy that hit in the middle of the lineup and, you know, a guy that's supposed to be kind of a cornerstone of the lineup for years to come. So, but when you talk to Matt Klentak and Pete McCann, they like to remind everybody that, you know, that was last season was really his first full season in the big leagues. And at times I think he felt a lot of pressure to live up to the hype and to produce. And quite frankly, there were stretches where he was kind of really swinging out of his shoes a lot, just really chasing some bad pitches, over swinging and, you know, trying to hit home runs every single time he went up. When, you know, Pete McCann's point is like, you know, if Michael just wanted to hit a couple line drives for doubles, you know, those help out the team too. So the Phillies really expect him to take a step forward this season. You know, they expect him to hit for a higher average, higher slugging, higher on-base percentage, all that stuff, and continue to improve at third base. I have no reason to think he can't do that. I do think that he underachieved last year. So, you know, I'm in the boat of, you know, Michael Franco has a lot more in him, and he could play a lot better than he played last year.
You mentioned him swinging for the fences. How much of that do you think could have been just because this team struggled so much offensively that maybe he felt pressure that he had to be that guy that was hitting home runs, because really 1-9, nobody else really was. So if he was in a lineup that was scoring runs a little more regularly, do you think he'd have an easier time settling in and looking for that line drive?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where some of these other players, you know, that's why they kind of brought in Michael Saunders on a 1-year, $9 million deal. And, you know, that's why they're hoping for big things from Tommy Joseph and the rest of the lineup. I do think that he saw the team struggling. I do think that he kind of looked at how he did 2 years ago when he came up in, I guess it was like mid-May, really played well until he suffered a hand injury in August and missed much of the second half. He was really impressive for a rookie. And I think he was trying to live up to those expectations. Then when the season starts and the team's not scoring and you're not swinging well, sometimes those things can snowball on you. And I think that's the case with him.
The middle infield on this team is interesting. Obviously, you have Freddy Galvis at shortstop, Cesar Hernandez at second base, two guys who've shown that they can hold down those positions. But knocking on the door pretty soon is going to be J.P. Crawford, which will kind of mix things up. But you would think opening day, it'll be Galvis and Hernandez. So as far as Freddy Galvis goes, how big a year is this for him because of Crawford's, you know, approach?
Yeah, this is huge for Freddy Galvis. And it's kind of interesting because there's a lot to love about Freddy Galvis. Defensively, I think, you know, he could have won a gold glove last year. He was that good. I mean, he was all over the field, made every type of play. He's a very smart baseball player. He's a good presence in the clubhouse. He hit 20 home runs last season, but he also had the worst on-base percentage of any qualified hitter in baseball last year, 274 on-base percentage. So, you know, while the 20 home runs are nice, I asked Pete McCann, I said, wouldn't you rather have Freddie cut down his cut his home runs in half, hit about 8 to 10, and have his on-base percentage be 320, 330? He said absolutely. And I think Freddie, late last season, I asked him about that, and he acknowledged that he needs to see his on-base percentage go up. And that is going to be the determining factor, I think. If Freddie goes out next season and he continues to play great defense and he's hitting for some power, but he's still hitting 230, 240 with a 270 on-base percentage, and J.P. Crawford is in AAA hitting 280 with a 360, 370 on-base percentage, because J.P. Crawford, Philly's GM Matt Klentak talks about this all the time. He controls the strike zone as well as anybody. He's almost, I think he's walked like 230 times and struck out 240 times in his minor league career. Great plate discipline, great eye. If those things are happening, and say it's June, right, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure to call up J.P. Crawford. So Freddie has to really, really improve in terms of his ability to get on base. And if he does not, then some decisions are going to have to be made, and he's going to either become a utility infielder or you know, find somewhere else he's going to have to go.
And maybe that other spot is second base, which would mean Cesar Hernandez becomes that utility man. And maybe, I mean, is that his best role? When you look at him as a player, Todd, I feel like he doesn't have, as valuable as he's been at times for the Phillies, he doesn't have that look of a regular, everyday guy on a contending team. Is this team better off maybe if in the future it's Crawford at short, Galvis at second, and then Hernandez gets to move around and be that utility guy?
You know, there is a school of thought, I think, in the organization of that scenario kind of playing out. But at the moment, I think Cesar Hernandez, the fact that he got on, he really finished the season hitting the ball very well and getting on base. I think he was like 22nd in baseball and on base percentage. Matt Klentak is a big Cesar Hernandez fan. But like I said, there was some talk last year of, you know, because everybody's been kicking around, you know, when Crawford comes up, what happens? Like, where are the moving pieces? And one of those scenarios is Freddie Galvis moving to second base. But at the moment, based off the way Freddie hit last year and the base stumped on the way that Cesar hit last year, I think it would almost have to be a situation where Freddie really boosts his on-base percentage, like we talked about, and Cesar would have to kind of come back to earth a little bit, you know, and, you know, be kind of have his offensive numbers even out with Freddie. In other words, if Freddie and Cesar are the same offensive player, I think there's not a question in my mind that the Phillies go with Freddie Galvis, because kind of what I mentioned earlier, he's very smart in the field. Cesar makes a lot of mental mistakes, and Freddie is a superior defensive player. Not saying that Cesar's not a good defensive second baseman, but Freddie is, he's lights out defensively. So if those two guys kind of, you know, even out offensively, I think there's definitely a situation where then Cesar can be kind of a bench player. But the difference there is Cesar is not as good defensively, like I mentioned, so he's not as quality of a shortstop or even as a third baseman as Freddie would be if Freddie's moving around the field. So that kind of creates another dilemma for the Phillies if it gets to that point.
Yeah, very good point there. And then at first base, obviously, maybe the official changing of the guard now with Ryan Howard no longer part of this roster. Tommy Joseph will take over there in 2017. But there's more talent on the way there as well. Rhys Hoskins had a great season last year in Reading with the power bat. But for now, is this Tommy Joseph's job day in, day out? Are they going to look to work some kind of platoon, or is it his job to win or to lose, I guess?
You know, I think it's his for sure. You know, Matt Klentak said that at the winter meetings. He says, right now we look at Tommy Joseph as our everyday first baseman. We like what we saw last year. We want to see more of it. You know, and Tommy, we talked to Tommy last week here in Philly, and, you know, he said all the right things. Like, listen, I'm not going to camp thinking I've got a job. I'm out there to win a job, which is a great attitude to have, you know. But really, he's the only option right now. A lot of people have wondered if Brandon Moss, the Phillies had signed Brandon Moss over Michael Saunders, then you might be talking more of a platoon situation. But now that Saunders is in the fold and he's never played first base before, I think Tommy Joseph is going to get the vast majority of at-bats at first base. You know, Howie Kendrick has played some first base before, but talking to Pete McCann the other day, he says he doesn't want to screw with Howie Kendrick. You know, he just wants to put him in left field, let him concentrate on left field, you know, produce offensively, and just leave him out there. So, you know, then naturally the question we followed up with is, you know, who's going to play first base if Tommy needs a day off? And you mentioned Andres Blanco as a guy that can play some first base. So if Andres Blanco is going to be playing some first base over anybody else, to me that says they're just going to let Tommy go out there and prove himself. if Tommy would struggle this year, if he doesn't make the adjustments that he needs to make, and Reese Hoskins is tearing the cover off the ball in AAA, then I think is when things are going to start to get interesting, because, you know, Reese and Dylan Cousins were their the Phillies' co-minor league players of the year, and Reese has really shown a good knack for hitting and kind of sniffing out those RBIs. So that's going to be another kind of fun situation to watch. But I like talking to Tommy. He seems to have a good feel for hitting, and you know what kind of piques my interest in him is, you know, he shows a lot of interest. I wrote about this yesterday actually on Phillies.com, how he really kind of digs into some of the numbers. You know, he said he in the off season and late last year or whatever, he kind of Googled like some of the best hitters in baseball and their philosophies on walks and on base percentage and OPS and stuff. And he said he kind of took some of that to heart. I asked him last season about some of the StatCast numbers like exit velocity. He says he definitely looks at those things, and he kind of compares his exit velocity with other, you know, left-handed hitters, other right-handed hitters, and to kind of maybe compare swings and see like, all right, well, Chris Bryant, you know, he looks at Chris Bryant. He's like, all right, well, Chris Bryant hits the ball this hard. You know, what can I do with my swing to kind of mimic his or whatever? And, you know, that just kind of shows a real open-mindedness to improving. And for that reason, I'm going to be really interested to see if he can kind of carry over what he learned last year into this year.
Yeah, like a forward-thinking guy for sure. You mentioned Andres Blanco, and the good thing with him, he can play all four infield positions, which is certainly valuable for this team when guys need days off. It's going to be an interesting infield to watch as the season progresses, and I'm sure Phillies fans will be keeping an eye on the Major League Club and then some of those names making their way up that'll probably be starting the year at the Lehigh Valley as well, with an eye to the future. Great stuff as always. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zalecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.